We are talking about how we live in light of a future resurrection. So take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Take your sermon notes out. They're there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going through verse by verse in that passage to learn about what the Bible says about our resurrection. As you're turning there, it was, I guess, last week, maybe a couple weeks ago now, I was talking to Bruce. And I learned that Bruce had a science fiction affinity, much like myself, and I did not know that he enjoys Star Trek and some of the geeky stuff that I like too. And in the midst of that conversation, this no-no word came up, because it brought me back to a place in my life that I was at my lowest. It brought me back to a place in my life that I just could not escape, that no matter what I tried, I was always sucked back into it. And Bruce, I don't know if I can forgive you for reminding me of that time in my life, because he brought me back to the time when I was an avid watcher of the TV show Lost. You ever seen that show before? If not, don't waste your time on it, all right? I watched Lost every, what was it, Wednesday or Thursday night, whenever it came, religiously. I mean, I would tune into that, I would watch it, and man, you would get the show would get going, and you'd be watching it, you would be observing it, and man, and you look at the clock. It's like, oh man, there's like 10 minutes left. Can they resolve this? And the episode goes on. And you're like, man, there's 5 minutes left. Surely they'll resolve this. And it's a minute left, and you think, oh no, they're not going to resolve this. And at the end of every episode, it hooked you to know to tune into the next episode, which was a great marketing ploy, right? And I don't want to give you a spoiler alert if you're planning on watching it on Netflix, but please don't. Not a good time in my life. So thank you, Bruce, for reminding me about that. No problem, he said. But I remember back to that, and that's just not how a story is supposed to go. I mean, you take a literature class, and you learn in literature class that every story, in essence, has three parts to it. There is a setup or an introduction where you learn about the characters, you learn who they are, what they're doing, you learn about the plot, the construction of it, the scenery, the environment, and then there is confrontation. So there is some sort of problem that happens that upsets the status quo. You have the introduction of the story, then you have the confrontation, but you cannot stop at the confrontation. There then has to be what's called in literature a resolution. And the problem with the TV show like that was you had the setup and you had the confrontation, but you had no resolution. And you tune in the next week and there would be more setup, more confrontation, and no resolution, and it drove me nuts. I mean, really, it's kind of like watching Star Wars A New Hope, Episode 4, right? And then watching The Empire Strikes Back, right? And never watching Return of the Jedi, right? Right? I mean, end of The Empire Strikes Back, the very end of it. Luke, spoiler alert, all right? Luke has his hand chopped off. Han Solo in carbonite. Darth Vader, is he the father? Is he not the father? There's some baby drama going on there. What's happening? And you get to the end, and there's no resolution. But thankfully, Return of the Jedi comes out, and it's all happy-go-lucky at the end. There's resolution. There's got to be, when I watch a TV show, when I watch a movie, there's got to be setup, there's got to be the confrontation, and buddy, there's got to be the resolution, or you've lost me. Is that clear today, by the way? Well, sadly, life gives us the setup, right, church? Life will give us the confrontation. Everybody with me on that? But life does not always give you what? The resolution. Life is sometimes like a big old episode of Lost. Amen on that one today? Where you don't get the resolution. Well, we started this series last week, Staying Up in a Down World, where we're talking about the resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15. And if I was to title this sermon series a different way, it might be simply Finding Encouragement in Discouraging Times. I mean, golly, you look on the news, we talked about this last week, how, man, everything, it's like there's a shooting or a killing or some sort of violent protest. It's like every week. And as I was praying, I just thought, man, I just feel like that I need to encourage our church not to be so downpressed during what appears to be dark times, where there is a very heated presidential election going on, where people are very polarized on opposite sides, and there's all just kinds of stuff that's going on, and you throw in the violence that's happening right now, and all of this stuff. I mean, just to be honest with you, it's kind of a discouraging time that we're living in. I mean, it's really a dark day that we're living in. But as I read the Scripture, I know that there is encouragement in the Scripture. And man, if there is ever a time we need encouragement, I think right now in 2016, we need encouragement right now. And I read in 1 Corinthians 15 this amazing passage about Jesus rising from the dead, but it just doesn't end there. It also talks about us rising from the dead. See, if we were today to say, hey, there is no resolution, period, all of us would be depressed, all of us would be discouraged. We would always constantly walk around with our head hung very, very low because we would never, ever, ever see resolution coming. Never. But thankfully, for those that are in Christ, there is a resolution. What I want to encourage you today is to know this. Here's the big idea. Are you ready? If you today are going through hardship and discouraging times, understand this. Here you go. Here's the big idea. Don't believe it's over. Can we say that together, church? On three. You ready? One, two, three. Don't believe it's over. So right now, if you're at the to be continued section of your life, if you're there and it's like, man, I don't know what the next scene's going to bring. It's looking pretty dark, pretty grisly right now in our nation, in our country, in our world, in my home life, in my finances, whatever. Let me encourage you, don't check out. You've got to understand that it ain't over yet. 1 Corinthians 15 is all about it not being over yet. Last week we read that the foundation of what we believe is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that is the most important thing. It is verified by the apostles and through Scripture, and that we have a faith that's a living faith. It's not in a dead Jesus, but a living Jesus. And let's go ahead and read. We pick up in verse 12. And the apostle Paul continues to talk about resurrection. And he says, now if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? So apparently people in the church of Corinth, they were okay with believing that Jesus was dead, but they themselves rising from the dead was a different story. They didn't believe that they would rise from the dead. They had no problem believing that Jesus rose from the dead, but they had a problem believing that they would rise from the dead. In Greek thought, Greek philosophy, they had no concept of the afterlife, really. It was more that you just kind of ceased to exist, really, but you just kind of lingered out there in limbo. But now the Christian faith was talking about being with God when you died, and then one day your physical body would resurrect, your physical body. And they had a hard time believing that. So Paul says, we preach Christ is raised from the dead, but you say there is no resurrection. And then Paul says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. He says, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is without foundation, and so is your faith. In addition, we are found to be false witnesses about God because we have testified about God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Therefore, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. Those that are dead are gone. They don't exist if Christ has not been raised, if there is no resurrection. If we have placed our hope in Christ for this life only and he's not resurrected, we should be pitied more than anybody else. He says, if you believe in Jesus, but you don't believe there's a resurrection of the dead, you've wasted your whole life. You've wasted the whole thing. You should be some of the most sorriest people ever if you have faith in Jesus, but you don't believe the dead raise. But now, don't you love verse 20? But what? But now Christ, what church? Say it with me loud if you can. He says, this is what happens if Christ has not been raised from the dead, but verse 20. But now, say it with me, church. But now Christ has been raised from the dead. Hey, does that excite you this morning, today? that our Jesus is not dead. He is not laying in a tomb. You can find Muhammad in a tomb. You can find Buddha in a tomb. But you can't find Jesus in a tomb. Because he rose from the dead. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he was the first fruits or the beginning of those who have fallen asleep or those that have died. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For just as in Adam all die, the very first person who brought sin into the world, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward at his coming, the people of Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, and when he abolishes all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death. Praise God for that, right, church? For he has put everything under his feet. But when it says everything is put under him, it is obvious that he who puts everything under him is the exception. And when everything is subject to him, then the Son himself will be subject to him, the Father who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all and in all. Thank you, Lord, for your word. So what we see is that Paul, who's writing this, is helping us understand that the Christian literally will experience a resurrection one day. That if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, one day after you die, your body will be raised from the dead. We're going to explain this in further weeks to come. But it is clear that as Jesus was raised from the dead, you too, if you believe, will be raised from the dead. So knowing that Jesus raising from the dead will affect our future if we believe, should that affect how we live in a very dark, dismal, depressing time? Knowing that Jesus will one day conquer death, the last enemy, that in the end he wins, and if he wins, how does that affect us today, right now? So let's ask that question. Here you go. Knowing that a resurrection is coming affects my life today. If I know that I will one day be resurrected in Jesus, how does that affect the way that I live as a Christian right now? Three things from the text we read. You ready? First, if you're going to make the declaration that you are a Christ follower and you believe God will raise you up on the last day, if you believe that, you have no choice but to live like this. You got to say this. I will not live my life. I will not live, and say it with me, church. I will not live in defeat. You cannot live defeated. You can't do it. Now look what Paul says. He gives us all kinds of examples of what happens if the resurrection is not real. He says, for example, if Jesus has not been raised from the, or if there is no future resurrection for the believers, follow the logical conclusion. If you say the dead can't raise, then what? Jesus is not alive because Jesus rose from the dead. If you don't believe today that there's going to be a bodily resurrection for the believer, then you can't believe Jesus rose from the dead. You have to believe that Christ rose from the dead to be saved. But if you don't believe in a resurrection, there's no Jesus coming back to life. And he says, if he's not been raised, then our preaching is without foundation. Every time a gospel preacher gets up to preach the Bible, he's just filling you with nonsense. He's just filling you with fairy tales. He's just telling you stuff that just is worth nothing. He goes on to say, "Is your faith is without foundation. If there is no resurrection, if Jesus doesn't live, then you don't have any grounds to have faith. You might as well do something else." And then he says about the apostles. He says the apostles themselves are false witnesses or liars about God. He says that if the dead are not raised, then listen to this, your faith is what? Worthless. If there is no future resurrection for us, then why are you here today? If there is no future for the Christian, why are you wasting your Sunday morning? Really? Setup crew, why are y'all coming and doing all this stuff? Running wires and lights and sound and computer and pouring coffee and hauling boxes. I mean, if there's no resurrection, everything you're doing is a waste of time. The bulletins you hold in your hands are a waste of paper. A tree died in vain for your bulletin if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Every bit of it's a waste of time. If there is no resurrection, you have every reason to wake up today and to tune in to your CNN, your Fox News, your MSNBC, whatever it is, and just get utterly depressed. Because if there's no resurrection, if there's no future for the Christian, I don't blame you for hanging your head in defeat. I mean, ISIS, you know, you've got global and domestic terrorism. You've got violence in the streets. I mean, you've got all of it. I don't blame you for getting absolutely depressed if there's no resurrection. I mean, you get bad news. Somebody calls you on the phone. Your health is not the best, or this has happened, or that has happened, or whatever. I mean, I get it. If this is all there is, you have every reason to walk around completely medicated with every antidepressant the world can imagine. Because it's depressing. And it's hard. And it's difficult. But that's only if you only live defeated, your faith is only worthless, that's only if what? If Jesus what? Didn't raise from the dead. Now don't forget that. That's only if Jesus Christ stayed dead. And that's only if we don't rise from the dead. But you know what's really cool? You know what's really cool? Paul's already told us Jesus has risen from the dead. So you know what that means? That means our preaching is worth something today. It means that our faith is worth something. It means if you're hooking up wires and lights and pouring coffee, and let's just take a moment of silence, of deep respect for those that make coffee. Amen. Hallelujah. It means if you're pouring coffee this morning, you're doing it for a reason. It means if you're going knocking on a door, telling somebody about Jesus, there's a reason. It means that if you're going to New York City to tell people about Jesus, there's a reason. If Christ rose from the dead, we do not live in defeat. We live in victory today. Because Jesus beat death. It means that everything we believe in is real, and it's passionate, and it's on fire, and it's good, and it consumes us, and it gives us the victory. It gives us the courage to move forward. But if he's dead, if we don't rise, and there's no future, go ahead and stick that lip out. That old ISIS, they're going to be the end of all of us. That old terrorism going to get us down, ain't it? That terrorism done got me down in the back. I'm not making light of terrorism, but here's what I am making light of. You ready? I'm making light of the Christian who watches the news and thinks that's it. Can I tell you something? One day, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I might as well. One day, God will deal with ISIS. And let me tell you something. Until that day comes, I pray that we won't see domestic terrorism in Owensboro or even anywhere in this nation. I pray we won't. But here's what I do know. If we do, we still win. We still win. Understand that if Jesus raises from the dead and there's a future resurrection, know this, that we don't have to live in defeat. But second, also understand this, that I will live with expectation. I'm going to live my life with expectation. Look what Paul says in verse 20. He says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead. He's alive. Christ is alive. He's the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. Now just check that for a second. Those who have fallen asleep. He says that Jesus is the beginning of resurrection for all those that have fallen asleep. Now, we need to take a pause, a time out here for a doctrinal teaching moment. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody's excited, right? For a doctrinal teaching moment. Okay. This does not mean the being asleep part does not mean, and this is very confusing sometimes in Scripture, but I'm going to try my best to explain it. There, according to what I understand in the Bible, that there will be a resurrection of the body, okay? So one day you gave your life to Jesus, you grew up, you made other disciples, you bit the dust, okay? They put you full of formaldehyde or whatever they put inside of you, all right? It puts you in a box or in a canister, okay? And then one day, Jesus is going to blow a horn, and somehow those dust particles or the skeleton or whatever is going to start changing, and it's going to come out of the grave. Now listen, it ain't no Walking Dead type stuff, all right? When we talk, now here in a couple weeks, we're going to talk about what the resurrected body looks like. And I'm telling you, we're not coming out looking for brains to eat, all right? That's not what I'm talking about. It's going to take place, and it's going to take us up into heaven. We're not going to be zombies. We're going to look like Jesus. So this is not an undead. This is a resurrection, okay? But now here's what we need to understand. The Bible would also teach us, now this is where it gets a little confusing, because Paul says asleep. But understand that is a common term. Jesus even himself said that about sleep for just death. It's kind of like a way of saying he passed away or he's not with us anymore. He's asleep. What that does not mean, okay, hear me, is that when we die as a believer in Jesus, that we're in some sort of soul sleep, that we're just there and then one day we'll wake up. Actually, the Bible teaches that if you're absent from the body, you're what? You're present with the Lord. Okay? Now just follow me. This is a little hard to understand. So when a believer dies, the way I understand Scripture is that their spirit goes before the Lord. Okay? And they are in heaven. All right? But down the road, they're not in bodily form in heaven. Okay? Well, what kind of form are they in? I have no idea. But they can talk, they can see, they can communicate, they can know each other, they can experience God, all right? So what's it like? I have no idea. This is why this point's entitled, I Will Live With Expectation. Because I don't know. But what I do know is that one day when Jesus comes back, guess what? There's going to be a trumpet sounding, and those bodies are going to reform, look like Jesus, and it's going to come up in the air, and somehow that spirit and that new body is going to meet. Boom, shakalaka, you're going to breathe again. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. But it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be like Jesus, how he could just be one place, and then boom, he's somewhere else. How he could walk through walls but still eat food. You know you're going to eat in heaven, right? When there's a new earth, you're going to eat on the earth. You're going to have a new body. And this excites me because I know that whatever happens to this body, guess what? I'm going to get a new body later on. All y'all going to Planet Fitness and eating all this like salad and rabbit food, all right? I get it. But you know what? I went to the doctor. I know I got to lose weight. He told me this week. I know. But hear me. One day, the trumpet's going to sound, and I'm getting a six-pack no matter what, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome, and I can't wait. I can't wait. And it's going to be amazing how Jesus is going to bring me back to life, and I can't wait for that. It's going to be awesome. I don't know the in-between stuff and all that stuff. All I know is that when life gets me down, and man, it can get me down. Anybody else? Here's the great thing. Just live with expectation. And you can say, man, it's pretty bad. And it could get worse. But it's going to get better. It's pretty bad. It's going to get worse. But it's going to get better. I don't know if you believe that yet or not. I said, it's pretty bad. It might get worse. But it's going to get better. I still don't think you get it. I still don't think you get it because I'm expecting today. I'm excited today. I'm happy today because we're going to get resurrected one day. I said it might be bad. It could get worse, but it's going to get better. And that's good stuff today. That's good stuff. And I live my life, and I know that if ISIS drove a truck in here to try to bomb us, hey, listen, that would be a tragedy, but praise God, it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. Because we've got faith in a resurrection. That's how I stay up in a down world. That's how I stay up. Because I'm excited. Now listen. The last part. Boy, I'm excited. Six-pack Kenny, it's going to be awesome. But here's what I know, all right? It ain't happened yet. It ain't happened yet. My wife says, I know. She says, I know. But listen, knowing that this is going to happen, that God's going to bring a resurrection for us, new bodies, a new earth. But look what it says, verse 23. But each in his own what? Each in his own what? Order. And he gives us kind of an understanding of how this is going to happen. Christ, the first fruits, he'll raise from the dead what? First. Jesus will raise first. Has Christ raised first? Absolutely. But then look what he says. Afterward, at his coming, so when he comes back, then what happens? The people of Christ. So there is a significant amount of time when Jesus raises and when we raise, okay? There's a significant amount of time. Paul would also talk about that there'll be some people at that time that are alive and they'll be caught up too, okay? However God works that out. But then comes the what? The end. We know there's a period of time between Jesus' resurrection, our resurrection, then comes the end. We would assume there's also a period of time between that as well. But just look what happens. At the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he abolishes all rule and all authority and power, man, when he just strips ISIS down, amen. When he strips every dictator, every child pornographer, when he strips every drug addict that's polluting our street that controls some sort of area, when he just takes it all away, amen. He just takes it all away. And for he must reign until he puts all enemies under his feet. And man, I praise God today that I'm on his side and not the other side. He puts them all under his feet. But listen, the last enemy to be abolished is what? Death. Now understand this. Death is the ultimate enemy because that's the one that takes us out. Takes us out. But understand that even at the end, that which takes us out, you ready? Will be taken out. That which takes us out will be taken out. It goes on, and when everything is subject to him, that's Jesus. So he's going to reign. He's going to be reigning and involved in the earth. And he will hand it over to the Father. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus is less God than the Father, but there is order within the Trinity is what that means. So understand that with resurrection, there is a process, a time period that has to happen. We're going to see it one day. We're going to experience it one day. But we got to wait. We got to wait. Boy, that's where the real confrontation comes into play. Amen. Because we've got the setup. And we've got the confrontation. But what are we missing right now, church? The resolution. The Bible has already foretold the resolution. But we're not there yet. I think today the key of staying up in a down world is, yes, knowing that we will raise, and also, yes, knowing that it's not over. But I think it's also understanding that we put our faith today in a risen Jesus. See, when Christ died, the disciples were at kind of a turning road. They had heard that he would raise, but died, he suffered on the cross. He did that. Remember what happened? when they buried him, what all happened? They all just kind of went away and they said, it's over. That's where some of you all are right now. It's over. I don't have any faith anymore. I don't have any hope anymore. It's over. It's done. But even though they believed that Jesus was not alive, that didn't stop Jesus from appearing to a couple of them on the road to Emmaus. That he was alive. Friend, I want to encourage you to make the decision that you will not be a spiritual pessimist. Now, did you hear me? That you will not be the cup is half empty spiritually. But instead, you will be a spiritual optimist of knowing that in Christ, it gets better. Yeah, you may have to go through some death first and some suffering first and some hardship first. But if you have Christ, it only gets better. Would you pray with me this morning? God, we thank you so much for Jesus, who died on the cross for us. And Lord, in this moment now, we pray that you would help us. Help us, Lord, not to be faithless, but faithful. And God, to know that it's not over. That no matter what happens in this world with elections or wars or upheavals or coups or banks or jobs, that it ain't over. And I pray today that if somebody needs encouragement in Jesus, that they would come and be encouraged. We thank you for Christ. In your name we pray, amen. As we stand to our feet, I want to give you an opportunity to come and pray, but our church is going to be going into a season of prayer here really, really soon. And we've got some dates during our campaign about prayer that I'm going to just put up here on the altar. And I want to challenge people to come and pick a day to pray. So that's going to be up here. But also for those that are depressed and discouraged, our deacons are on the side, how we would love to pray with you today as we sing.
Grander earth is quaked before.